All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning, January the 27th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It actually is starting to become a little nicer. We have gone through a week of bone-chilling cold. And we have survived, thank goodness. And it's starting to feel a little better outside, warming up a smidgen. It's funny how our house is, the way it faces, my whole side of the block here is still full of snow, and everybody on the other side of the street is all clear. So the way the sun passes, it just sort of shadows everything. So it's funny, if you look at our side of the street, it looks like it's winter, and on the other side, it's snowless. So it's kind of funny. But yeah, it is what it is. It is Monday. Thought I'd sit down and see if I could do a podcast, see what is going on. Had a busy few days. I'm not sure what day I did the podcast last, but, you know, for the most part, everything's been going pretty smooth. I did have we went to Pottstown, Pennsylvania for a paddling school, and I'm not even sure if that's the right term. They have this cool pool. It's set up for people to paddle. So up in Philadelphia, they have dragon boat races. And they have them everywhere, but Philadelphia is a pretty popular area for the dragon boat races. In fact, there's some people in the club that I am in that are also dragon boaters. And so up in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, they have this pool that you can train to do dragon boat races. But you can also do, OC6 and all these different types of ocean paddling and stuff. So it was fun. It was a long drive. It was almost 3 hours. And I did talk my oldest son into coming with me because I do think he'd be great for this sport. Not making him, but I did tell him, listen, I don't ask a lot from you. I would appreciate it if you'd come paddle. And so he said he would. And so I'm excited about that. So him and I went up to Pottstown, Pennsylvania, which is famous for, because we went to this diner, and I'm like, we should figure out why, or I should actually figure out why, what's popular, what makes this place what it is. And it turns out Pottstown was one of the first towns to have a furnace and a forge. And so obviously now I'm realizing Pottstown was a big steel town. So steel from Pottstown is in the Golden Gate Bridge and some other famous landmarks. And so back in the 1700s, man, Pottstown was the first town with a forge. So anyway, we went up there. We had a lot of fun. It was really cool. Went up with a bunch of people from the club, met at a diner, had breakfast, and then went and worked out. And it was tough. You know, I do a lot of the paddling. I've been doing it for a few years now, and I do feel like I am pretty good. But that's in my mind, right? I don't know if that's actually reality. I don't think I'm horrible, but I am trying to find the humility to recognize that I would like to try to be better. In fact, during the last few years, I've had a few people point out, coaches, Tom, if you do this, you'd be a lot better. Or you need to bend over. You need to fold. You need to reach. All these different things. And I always have an excuse, right? I'm too fat. I'm too my back. Which are two, they're facts. I am too fat and I do have a bad back. But that doesn't mean I can't try. And, I've lost some weight. I feel a little bit better. And my back is actually, I don't know, it's okay. I don't know if I just tolerate it. I'm not sure. I see people lately with bad backs. I'm like, oh, this back. And they're out. I'm like, this is my everyday life, is this back. But, you know, I do think it's gotten a little bit better. So I went to Pottstown, Pennsylvania with my son, and I left all the excuses here, and it was great, man. There's this guy, Mike. He's part of the club, but he's also, him and his wife are big paddle boaters, dragon boaters, excuse me, and they're very good at it. And they do a lot of paddling. They're retired, and they're very outgoing in the sport, whether it's, you know, doing OC6 or at the beach. Dragon boat up in Philadelphia, they'll go to Hawaii, they'll go Puerto Rico. They're really into it. And Mike's super fit, and he had a lot of great advice for me, and I was really grateful to hear the suggestions, and I tried to use them. And, you know, immediately I started to feel a little bit better, right? You know, I don't, it's always just technique, right? And it's always an opinion. And the point is, I tried to keep my, leave my opinions here. And so I feel like it was very successful. And I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm supposed to paddle on Wednesday. I'm excited to implement my new techniques. But what was most exciting for me really was that my son went. And, you know, I'm just a big fan of his. He's just a great guy. We don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. In fact, he's a great reminder for me that I need to sometimes shut my mouth. I shared when I, you know, when we went out to dinner a couple weeks ago, and the other day him and I went and had lunch with somebody, and they started saying something, and I started saying something, and he just looked at me and was like, you know, shut up.
And in time, this one reminds the other of a past, a life lived much too fast to hold on to. How am I losing you? A broken house, another dry month waiting for the rain. And I had been resisting this decay. I thought you'd do the same. But this is all I ever was, and this is all you came across those years ago. Now you've gone too far. Don't tell me that I changed, because that's not the truth. And now I'm losing you. Fragile sound, the world outside just watches as we crawl towards a life of fragile lines and wasted time. And so I cry as I hold you for the last time in this life, this life I tried so hard to give to you. What would you have me do? But this is all I
Ditmas, Mumford & Sons. One of the greatest albums I think ever put out, Wilder Mind. Great production. Love that album. Big fan. So, yeah, he's helpful. He keeps me in check sometimes. And, you know, I'll follow his direction. I have sometimes get a little lost and justify some of the things I do. You know, take, for example, going to dinner with him and then asking that lady why she put us in the back. Probably shouldn't have said anything, right? And I can tell you, the next time, if that does happen, I will definitely think about keeping my mouth shut, right? Because David afterward was like, what'd you have to say anything for? And I was like, I don't know. Maybe I've just gotten to this level in my life where I just feel like I can say anything I want and, you know, people just have to put up with it. Mm-mm, not really. And so even like the other day when we had lunch, he just looked at me and I was like, all right, I'll drop that. I get you. So just really grateful. And, you know, the whole time we were there, you know, I won't say a bunch of people, but definitely if three people came up to me and said, I'm so impressed with your son. I was like, really? I mean, he's just, yeah, thank you. Right. I have nothing to do with it. You know, I fed him, I raised him, but, he's really just a great guy. I will say, you know, hopefully being sober the whole time he's been alive, has been key, right? I did struggle a little bit in his first year, but luckily he was just a baby and does not remember that. But, you know, just grateful to be being sober and hopefully, you know, just being a good example to him. And, but yeah, so that was our weekend. We had a lot of fun. Great to hang out with him. The paddling was great. Definitely learned some new stuff. And so it was fun. So one thing down, that was the only thing on my radar lately. You know, I complain about or I don't complain. I internally complain or stress or, you know, sort of, you know, mull it over of these things that I sign up for to do. You know, we had two things to do this week. We had the, we also had the banquet. The banquet was cool. The club met and handed out some trophies. And so that was on my radar. And then obviously going up Saturday, because it was a long day. I had a client at 8, left the salon at 8:30, drove up to Christiana, grabbed him, and then on we went and didn't get home until about 6 o'clock that night. So it was definitely a full day. But I shouldn't complain, because afterwards it's always awesome. And then, like now, I really don't have anything on my radar, and I'm really not doing much. So I thought maybe I'll try to do a podcast. So I thought I'd come up here. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the program, right? Recovery, how it has worked for me in my time, and how I thought about it early on and how I think about it today. And, you know, when I came into the program, you know, stunned and, you know, spinning and not sure what's going on, just hanging on and, you know, hearing about this program and these steps, and if we work the steps, it can change our life, and just feeling very overwhelmed, right? Just really overwhelmed. How, you know, definitely not understanding about staying in the moment, not staying in the day, you know, projecting, reflecting everywhere, right? And I remember early on thinking, how is this going to work in my life? Or maybe thinking, oh, I see how this will work. Either way, clearly confused. But just kind of going with the program. What I'm realizing, for at least for me today, is that, you know, I see really how this program works for me in my life today, right? So over however many years it's been, I use this program all the time, right? Whether it's, you know, running my mouth, paddling, working, my marriage, raising my kids, taking care of myself, you know, they're all little moments. When I came into the program, I had such a broad variety of problems, right? I've said before, when I came in, I had a lot of problems. And, you know, obviously when I put down the drinks, a few of them started to fade away. Drinking and driving obviously was a huge one, and that dropped away. But, you know, it's all and I've sort of been on this kick lately, it's all the public and private things that go on in our lives. And obviously all of the public things started to get better. But that's just over time, working this program, grinding through it, having my ups and downs, cleaning everything up slowly through the years, right? It just didn't happen. I'm always interested when someone can go through the 12 steps, like in rehab in 30 days and, you know, have it. And I'm like, wow. Because it's like it keeps evolving for me, and, you know, implementing these steps into my life early on, just I didn't really know how. I knew not to have a drink, and I knew to go to a meeting, and I tried to surround myself with, you know, like-minded people that were better than me, right? Examples. Because when I came to this program, like, I didn't have any friends that were doctors, right? I didn't have any friends that owned businesses. I didn't have any friends that owned, you know, or that were had public, you know, figures. You know, I didn't have any friends. I had people that liked doing the same thing, and we all used each other to try to get to the same goal, which was usually drugs, right? I often think of the path and how I even got here, and a lot of my story, unfortunately, was back in California, right? When I entered California, I was probably a weekend drinker. Definitely did not drink during the week. Got to California, picked up the weekend drinking. Probably didn't realize how much I started to rely on alcohol, how much the habit had started. I remember very lonely times early on in California, drinking my mom's wine every night, and her bitching, "Why'd you drink all my damn wine?" And so definitely, you know, easing my way into this issue. And then slowly finding drugs and doing the drugs every day. You know, I couldn't drink every day. I get too drunk. How can you even participate in life? But I could participate in life and do drugs. And so, you know, doing a lot of drugs, and then alcohol really started to become a tool to moderate the drugs. And You know, but it happened one day at a time, right? I remember I didn't even drink that much. Started working for the school district in San Diego, started hanging out with these guys after work. They would like to, we went to this park in Cardiff and threw horseshoes and drank beer. And I was like, this is fantastic. Beautiful park, right? You can see the ocean. We're throwing horseshoes and drinking beer. I'm like, this is awesome. But I also started using some drugs to wake up in the morning to even make it to the job. So, and then these guys started hanging out at this bar, and I started going to the bar, and we could cook steaks on Sundays, and it was just one freaking day at a time, and I just became, you know, heavily reliant on drugs and alcohol. And, you know, I would do the drugs, the alcohol would mellow the drugs, and then the drugs would mellow the alcohol, and it just became a, you know, just a merry-go-round of misfortune, unfortunately. And, you know, there'd be fights, and there'd be downfalls, and then eventually, you know, like a lot of people, trying to figure out how I can do this for free, and then stepping into that realm. And, you know, and anytime, if you've ever been involved in that, there's the lower, the bottom feeders, you know, the middlemen, and then the top guys. And, you know, I came in as a bottom feeder, trying to meet people to try to somehow get to drugs. And then over time, you know, knowing the right guy, and then the next thing you know, buying a little more, and then you get to start selling it. And while this is all happening, the top people are getting busted, right? And new bottom feeders are coming in. It's just a conveyor belt. And, you know, over the 5 or 6 years that I was there, you know, I went from the bottom to the top. And then my time came to get busted, right? And quick, you know, the whole time, I got to get sober. I got to go to court. Never, ever choosing to do that. Go to court high, went to jail high, and finally got sober in jail. I was there for 100 days. And, you know, very painful, very painful experience, because not only was I coming off drugs and alcohol, but I was also coming off self. And I was very entitled and very spoiled and, you know, just a mess, completely full of self and self-centered fear and all that shit. And then coming out of jail and thinking, you know, this is it. I've done it. I'm not going to use again, and getting high that day. Because I'd done nothing, right? I'd done nothing to prepare myself for that. And so when the day happened, you know, my mind said we're not going to use, but my body said, yes, we are, and we did. Might be the opposite, but I was high within a day, and everything started over again. And then luckily jumped on that U-Haul and drove 5 days across the United States and ended up where I'm at today. A mess. I mean, a big mess. And that's when I started, I took everything that I'd done and put it all into drinking, because the solution was, it wasn't illegal, right? I didn't have to worry about getting busted, right? I didn't have to worry about getting caught with drugs. I could just drink and no one was going to bother me. And by this time I was such an addict and an alcoholic that, you know, it was bad. And so finally, coming out of all of that, right, you know, that day, March 31st, 1997, not even wanting to get sober, right? Just picking the easier path, the least resistant. And here I was in a program. And like I said, I had a lot of problems. And it's hard to just say, all right, let me take this program and start fixing them. And I couldn't do that. You know, I just had to barely hold on. You know, don't drink, go to meetings. Don't drink, go to meetings. And you start putting some time together. And slowly through with the sponsor, we start picking apart our problems, you know, recognizing them, completely oblivious, quite honestly, of them, right? I thought I didn't have any problems, right? I can say today, sitting back looking, reflecting, right, that I definitely had a lot of problems. But at the time, you know, I just had sort of become used to, you know, that, right? My mom used to say, you know, when's the next shoe going to drop? Because that was how my whole life was. When's the next shoe going to drop, right? Fighting with the neighbors, getting a DUI, getting thrown out of bars, getting arrested for fighting with the neighbors. Just, it was like I would finally get my shit together a little bit, and then, you know, my alcohol in my mouth would get me freaking caught up in some other bullshit. And so it was just a terrible life. And so, you know, when I finally came into the program, I could not really see how I could start to fix my life with this program, right? I just had to not drink and go to meetings and you know, surround myself, like I said, with great examples, and that's what I did, right? And I started to mimic them, you know, shaking hands, introducing myself, asking people their name, you know, just trying to be a pleasant human being. And that's fine. It looks good. It feels good. But it's, it allowed me to sort of stay sick for a long time. And I don't think there was anything wrong with that, right? For me, at least, I had to kind of go through it. I had to suffer through it. I had to, you know, get called out on shit. That's how I learn. It's through pain, embarrassment, ego devastation, complete humiliation. That's how I learn. If you told me, hey, man, this is what you got to do, and this is what you got to do, I'd be like, yeah, yeah. But until, like, you know, I say something and someone calls me out on it and I feel like a total piece of shit, then I remember. Then I'm aware. And, but it just takes this time. And, you know, I guess I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm working with some new people. And, you know, there's a part of me that says, listen, man, if you do this and do this, you know, you can avoid all this. Or, hey, if you do this and this, you know, this will start to happen. And, I think we all have to go through it. And so I'm just trying to refrain, right? I've tried to refrain from pen and tongue when I'm saying bad things, but I also have to, I feel like I should try to refrain from pen and tongue when I'm trying to, there's parts of me, right, ego, that want to give advice, right? I've been doing this a long time, I should know. I have to remind myself, the advice is don't drink, go to a lot of meetings, and when something comes up, you know, because that's the, you know, that is always, to me, the big thing is when I work with someone new, I say, call me every day. And I say, call me every day. And the day that you hear the voice that tells you not to call me because you're going to be bothering me, or I don't want to hear from you, or you've called too much, then tell me, because that is what I want to talk about, right? That is the disease of this addiction, is that internal voice that talks to us and, you know, keeps us from doing things, suggests that we do things. And, you know, I had a conversation with my brother. And my brother's sober. He's doing really well. He lives upstate. And, my brother and I are a lot alike. You know, we get pissed. We make choices. And then later on we go, shit, I shouldn't have done that, right? And, I haven't done that in a long time. My brother still does it. And it's usually around working, you know. Unfortunately for my brother and I, we've taken the long, rough path. So luckily I got in the hair business, but my brother, he does, you know, construction and stuff, which he's very good at. He's good at it, but it's a frustrating world. And he had quit his job. He had quit many jobs, but, you know, a while back he had quit this job and he wanted to become a CDL driver and went through the whole process, you know, but he was out of work. It was a testy time. And, but he went to school. He got his, you know, all the things he needed to do to get a CDL license. He even passed the CDL test, you know. But at the same time, the reality started to come to him that what he was going to have to do in this job was going to probably suck too. And so he ended up talking to his old boss. They made an amends, got his regular job back. And he was like, man, I just, you know, I shouldn't have said anything. I should have had a conversation instead of, you know, blowing up and quitting. And they said the same thing, and we both agreed, and now I got my job back. He actually gets a truck. I mean, he's got a great situation. So he calls me yesterday. He's like, I'm quitting my job. I'm like, dude, let's think about this for a second. And he had a plan, but unfortunately for my brother and I, you know, these would be things that he would run through my father. And, you know, my dad and my brother had a special relationship, and my father and I had a special relationship. And I don't mean special, but like, you know, we'll just not talk to Todd about this, or my brother, and we won't talk to, you know, your brother about this. And my dad would try to, you know, work things out for him and try to help him along. And I'd be like, Dad, you're just enabling him. And I'm sure maybe my brother said that about me, but instead, you know, now he has to talk to me, right? And unfortunately, I'm not the voice of my father or the reasoning that my father would have. And, you know, he started to get pissed off and he's like, all right, I got to go. And I go, whoa, whoa. I go, man, listen, you know, we have to talk about this stuff. We have to stick together, right? It's just the two of us. After my, you know, when unfortunately my dad does pass, it'll be my brother and I, you know, that's it. Our family's done. And, you know, I said, we have to continue to have conversations. I said, sometimes they're not going to be great, but, you know, we still have to talk about it because the problem with my brother, just as like the same problem that I have, and I know a lot of people have, is that we get ideas, we get thoughts, and we just keep them in our head. And we, the disease that I have starts to tell me that these are great ideas. I should quit. I should do this. I should do that. And it's almost like that friend that likes to get you in trouble, and then when the shit hits the fan, he's nowhere to be seen. The way, a lot of way my addiction is. And same thing with my brother. And he's like, yeah, I was just going to quit right before you called. And I was like, don't do that. You know, think it through, right? Give it a couple days. Even like the same situation that had happened in the past, you know, my brother had said, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I had just talked to him. And I'm like, yeah, so, you know, go talk, right? Try to figure it out. He's also having, my brother runs a recovery house, and he's having some trouble with there because, you know, there's, you know, you got a bunch of addicts living in the house. And apparently one guy is not cooperating. And I was telling him, I go, you're going to have to get rid of him. You're going to have to let him go. He's disrupting the whole house. He's disrupting the serenity. And he's like, yeah, but every time, you know, we throw somebody out, they key my truck. And I was like, oh, that sucks, right? He's had his truck keyed like a couple times from throwing out people that are breaking the rules in the recovery house. And I'm like, you remember that movie Roadhouse? You knew that where he parked his Mercedes in that barn and he brought that old busted up car to the bar, you know, and every night he'd get off after throwing people out of the bar and he'd have a, I think he had a stop sign in the front windshield or something. And I'm like, that's what you need. You need this piece of shit car that these guys can destroy. And, you know, keep your truck parked somewhere nice. But, you know, the whole point is that, you know, this is stuff that I've learned through the program. And it's great to be able to talk to my brother about that because he's learned it as well. But we can forget, right? This are these angels, right? And these devils, they'll, you know, usher us off privately and mull it over within our own head and not discuss it with other people. And sometimes we make bad decisions, right? And we, you know, we really have to think it through to the consequences and everything that comes on after. Something I never used to do, right? Didn't even care. It was always about what can I get? I don't care who it affects, who's going to get hurt, right? That is the disease of self, right? I do everything without considering anything. And, you know, but now, today, you know, to bring this around, you know, I find myself using this program a lot. Right, I use it a lot in everyday situations, and because you know, over time, I've sort of cleaned everything up. I've gotten to a place. I've said before, I really don't have any problems today. I've done a lot of work, and I feel like I've gotten to a place. Not perfect, but I feel like I've gotten to a place that I'm not looking at such a broad spectrum of problems. Right, these little single problems that pop up, and usually today I can use the program to even avoid that happening. But they still pop up, right? And so, you know, luckily today I can sort of use the program, the third step, right? I can make better choices. You know, I can swap out alcohol. You know, my life has become, we admit we're powerless over food, right? And my life has become unmanageable. Money, you know, all of these little things that I can swap out and use the same program for sort of a different issue. But it all comes down to the same thing. It's all selfish. And, you know, today I know that. And it's very, very helpful. And so, like I tell these guys, just hang in there, man. Just hang in there. Don't worry about it. Just don't drink, right? Keep sharing how many days you have. Keep shaking hands. Keep making friends. Keep being involved. Keep making coffee. My one guy makes coffee. Another guy I'm sponsoring, he does literature. You know, keep doing the literature, keep hanging in there. And hopefully, over time, we get to clean up so much stuff. And then later on, we can actually use this program in our daily lives. And I think that that is awesome, right? So that's what's going on. I'm just grateful for this program. You know, if you are new, like I said, just don't drink and go to a lot of meetings. But start looking, you know, instead of... and I've shared before, this is not a punishing program, right? This is we're lucky to be able to have been beaten down far enough that gives us the ability to maybe take a look at this program as something that might help us in our lives instead of a punishment, right? Because that's how I've always looked at recovery, is a punishment, right? You're going to have to go to rehab. You have fucked up so much, you're going to have to go to jail, right? And, you know, today it's like, it's such a gift. And so I really try to use this program in everything I do today. I'm not perfect at it, far from perfect, but I'm aware. And usually if I'm making a mistake, I chose to, right? It isn't because I missed something, right? I chose to make the mistake. And hopefully I just don't choose to make a lot of mistakes today. All right, well, let me see. What's our time? I know. Time. Oh, shit, we're already over. Let's let me read the daily reflections. I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a meeting. It is Mondays. Kicked off some meetings. Give me something to chat about through the week. Yeah. All right, daily reflection. Freedom from guilt. Ooh, that sounds awesome. All right, January 27th. Where other people were concerned, we had to drop the word blame from our speech and thought. Where other people were concerned, we had to drop the word blame from our speech and thought. Yeah. 12 steps, 12 traditions. When I become willing to accept my own powerlessness, I begin to realize that blaming myself for all the trouble in my life can be an ego trip back into hopelessness. Asking for help and listening deeply to the messages inherent in the steps and traditions of the program make it possible to change those attitudes which delay my recovery. Before joining AA, I had such a desire for approval from people in powerful positions that I was willing to sacrifice myself and others to gain a foothold in the world. I invariably came to grief. In the program, I find true friends who love, understand, and care to help me learn the truth about myself. With the help of the 12 steps, I am able to build a better life free of guilt and the need for self-justification. Yes. Yeah, well, that's the trick, right? That is, you know, that is the move. It's becoming accountable, right? We got victims and you got volunteers. And until we can start to become accountable, you know, for our own issues, you know, isn't until then we start to feel better. So anyway, I appreciate you letting me share, and I hope everyone has a great day. Bye-bye. The bed.